This morning, my sermon is called Making Good Soil. Everybody say that with me. Making good soil. Making good soil. Staying, guys, in this theme we've been on for a few weeks about no more dry bones. No more dry bones. Amen. Y'all remember what the dry bones were? Let's just recap a little bit. Why were the bones dry in Ezekiel 37? Because they're what? They're hopeless, right? Our hope is gone, right? And we've been completely cut off, right? These bones are dry because our hope is gone. And Ezekiel says the solution to this problem is the indwelling Holy Spirit, right? So if we've been born again, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that means that the problem of hopelessness that Ezekiel saw in the future should be dying, correct? Right? I mean, it should be, the Holy Spirit should be eradicating hopelessness if we're born again believers. Is that right? How many people felt hopeless about something this week? Let's just be real, man. Come on. And there's the stuff that we've got to say, okay, Lord, get in there and fix that stuff, right? What is it? Where is that stuff hiding in my soul? Amen. We've been looking at that for the last couple of weeks, so talking about the soul. We're going to get a little bit more about the inner man today and get at something that we all know this scripture that we're going to look at this morning, but I want you to listen and take some notes like you've never heard it before. Amen. Sometimes, church, we've been around long enough where we go, oh, yeah, I know that passage, and we just shut off in our brain. Amen? So Matthew, we're gonna springboard from a Matthew 11, 29, where we were the last couple of weeks, but Matthew 11, 29, let's read it just briefly. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls, right? Where's the rest? Is it outside or inside? Inside, right? Does Jesus say that this rest will have any impact on your circumstances? No, none at all. Can I get amen? It will change how we view our circumstances so that then we can then impact our circumstances by the rest that's going on inside of us. Can I get amen? Right? If we're living in turmoil, church, it's going to be very difficult for us to make an impact on chaos that's going on around us if there's chaos in us. Right? I got to be okay in here. I got to be thinking pretty good in here. Then I can go at what's going on out here. Can I get amen? The rest of the Lord here, this rest is temporary or permanent in verse 29. Y'all, so you sleepy? Come on, everybody. Permanent, right? Verse 28 is one we always quote, but that one's temporary, right? Everybody gets that one for free. This verse is a permanent one that you've got to find it. Can I get amen? Said last Sunday, you can't find something if you're not looking for it, right? Church, the bottom line is that this rest, this permanent rest for my soul is hiding somewhere. You got to go digging for it. Is that right? If I told you there was $1 million buried on the property somewhere, we'd dig. I'd do it for $100. All right. Can I get an amen? If you knew, right, if I dig long enough, I'm going to find something that is really valuable, we'd get to dig, and wouldn't we? Right? So think about this. If you want, this is rest for your soul, a permanent place. There's no more junk going on in here. I'm at peace before the Lord, right? We need to dig for that thing. Is that right? This is the rest, church, that can't be imitated, duplicated, fabricated, or manufactured. Can I get amen? The world can't produce it. Humanism can't produce it. New Age can't do it. Meditation can't do it. Islam or Hindu can't do it. This rest comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the sake of today's sermon, I want to take a couple of words and kind of melt them together, all right? It's not perfect, but I want to take soul, heart, and inner man and kind of melt them together. Amen. It's not perfect, but it's close enough. Can you bear with me for that one? All right. So I talk about heart. Think about your soul. Think about, as we look, read this section of scripture, he's talking about in here. Amen. Yeah. All right. So for a couple of weeks, church, we've been looking at getting in the yoke with Jesus, not fighting the yoke, right? His yoke's easy and his burden's light as long as we're in step with him. Right? When it gets hard is when we start jerking on the yoke, right? But here's, let's take it one step further. So if we can grasp this concept, we're going to get yoked with Jesus. We're going to get tied to some kind of plow or something. What is Jesus going to plow up? Right? Well, as I said a moment ago, he's not plowing up your circumstances. That'd be easy. We'd all get in the yoke if he just fixed everything that was wrong. Amen, right? I mean, if every time I needed money, like cash just showed up on my doorstep, we'd all plow that, right? If every single time there was something wrong, it just, poof, it just went away. We'd get in the yoke, no problem, right? But what Jesus himself is saying, you got to get in the yoke with me. I'm going to plow up something in here, right? See, church, I'm going to say something. I hope this doesn't come across so critical, because it's not. I'm not trying to be critical at all, but I don't like the phrase. It's just my personal opinion. Let's go out and save souls. Man, we say that in church a lot, but it's like, read the Bible. Saving a soul is a process, not an event. Right? You can get saved, and then you got to keep getting saved. Can I get an amen? Right? It's not really that hard to get somebody to give that initial yes to Jesus. It's when Jesus starts plowing some stuff up on their life and starts convicting them and starts dealing with some stuff of how they handle their money or how they deal with their spouse or their kids or their work ethic or their neighbor or church or whatever. That's when folks start getting squirrely and go, hey, I don't like this stuff, man. You didn't tell me about this. Can I get an amen? Right? We looked at last week, right? In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to do what? Save your soul. Same word as salvation. It's the same Greek word, y'all. See, James is not talking about an event. He's talking about a process. Is that right? I got to find some way to get the word of God permanently fixed inside me. Right? Amen? I saw something on Facebook yesterday. It says, when you carry your Bible, the devil gets scared. And it's like, I read that and I says, you know what? How about you get the Bible in you? He's even more scared of that. Amen? Lots of folks carry one. They don't know what it says. Yeah? Luke chapter 8. Let's get right into it. I got like 26 pages of notes this morning. So we're just going to go till y'all get sleepy. Luke chapter 8. You guys all there? Let's read this together. Again, we all know this one, but let's pretend like we don't know it. Ready? Verse 4. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell in rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him in verse 9 as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables. So that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Notice that, church. The seed is what? Is the seed the Holy Spirit? No. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, everybody say good soil? These are the ones who have heard the word, and in an honest and good heart, hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Amen. How many people want to be verse 15? Right? But there's some work that's got to happen to be a verse 15 believer. right? That doesn't just happen, yeah? So a couple things let's establish. Is there anything wrong with the seed? No. Seed is seed, and in this case, as Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. So there's definitely nothing wrong with the seed. So if there's nothing wrong with the seed, and yet we don't see a whole lot of fruit coming from the word, there must be another issue, right? So think about scriptures like this one. In Isaiah, he says that my word will not return to me void, right? But it will accomplish what I desire. And he gives a little word picture there as the rains and the snow has come on the earth and water it and make it to bud and sprout and grow. So will my word be, which goes forth throughout the earth. It will not return to me void, right? It will accomplish whatever I desire. But it's interesting. Jesus gives a parable here about the word going forth and not accomplishing what God desires it to accomplish. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah says that the word will never go forth without accomplishing what God desires, but Jesus gives a parable of four groups of people, three of which the word goes forth into their life but does not accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. So is there some type of agreement that we need to make with God, with the word of God, right? So see, church, what we can do is we can look at this parable and we can say, well, geez, I've read the Bible. I've quoted the Bible. I've yelled at the devil quoting the Bible. I've yelled at this thing quoting the Bible. I've quoted the Bible about this and I've quoted the Bible about that. And Pastor, nothing happened. I got one person nodding their head. The one person that's brave enough over here nodding their head up and down. Yep, that's me. I'm guilty. Right, church? Come on, man. How many times have we stood on the word, like we're standing, we feel like we're just full of faith. Okay, God, I'm standing on this one. And we stand, and whatever's happening happens, and nothing changes, and it doesn't work, and we go, ah. Can I get amen from anybody? Yeah? See, the issue is, God says that if the soil of my heart is good, then the word that gets in there will produce, according to Luke's gospel, 100 times greater than what was sown. Mark's gospel of it, it says 30, 60, or 100. So in the worst case scenario, church, if the soil in my heart is good, then the word that gets in there should be producing at least 30 times more than what went in. How many people want to live that? Yeah, for sure, right? How many of us are frustrated about reading our Bibles and doing our best and seeing nothing happen, feeling fruitless? Yeah? Come on, man. Let's dig in a little bit. The first group here, it's funny, as I was reading back through this as we were reading it together, I realized maybe my observation is a little bit off, but just bear with me. Amen? The first group, it says the seed falls along the roadside and is trampled underfoot, and the devil steals it. Amen. Now, it does say here, this is where I somehow missed it as I was studying this. He explains that those beside the roadside have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Right? Takes away the word from their heart. So there's where my notes here are just slightly off. So I'm just being humble in admitting that. Is that all right? But I think what the Lord wants us to hear about this particular group, I think, is still good. This group, to me, is a weird one, right? It's kind of this weird picture. They stand by the roadside, and their word gets shut. Like, what is it? What are these people? I've taught, and I thought maybe this is the people that kind of are fringe church folks. You know, they don't really want to plug in. They don't really want to, you know, they come once in a while, but they won't. You see what I'm saying? They won't get in community. They won't plug in. They won't. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to change. Right? Or maybe I want to change, but just life is so nuts that I just don't see it working, right? So it's like, I come to church because I'm supposed to, and I do this because I'm supposed to, and I do that because I'm supposed to, but there's nothing really engaged in the heart, amen? But I really felt the Holy Spirit this week as I was looking at this, he took it like a notch farther. Amen. And what I saw in my spirit was like somebody standing in the rain with an umbrella on. Right? And I felt like the Lord said to me, these are people, this first group of people are really basically prideful. And just like it could be pouring rain on, man, raining cats and dogs. And if you take an umbrella and go out and stand in the rain, you ain't getting wet. right? It doesn't matter how long you stand in that rainfall, man. If you put an umbrella on, you're dry. Nothing's getting in. Can I get amen, church? And I really felt God saying, because if you think about it, it says that the seed falls on the roadside, right? The seed, it's like it's around them, but it's like it doesn't really penetrate their heart, right? Do you see what I'm saying? And if you think about what the Bible talks about being prideful, it says what? That God resists the proud. And in America, man, we think we've got pride all figured out. See, I'll be honest with me, this is how I used to think about it. If I saw somebody roll in in a car that was like $100,000, you know, rolling to church or rolling dressed real nice, or even sometimes we see somebody that's very confident in themselves, right? And they carry themselves a certain way, we'd be like, oh, that person's so prideful. You know, we get so bent out of shape in America. Why do you got to have that kind of car, brother? You know how many people you could feed if you bought a lesser car than that? Oh, my goodness gracious. Do you know that poor folks can be just as prideful as rich folks? Sometimes folks that are down and out are more prideful than folks that are successful. Sometimes folks are successful because they're humble. Not because they're prideful, because they've humbled themselves and the Lord has exalted them. That's what the Bible says, right? See, what all pride is, church, this is how we got to recognize pride. God says A, and I decide to do B. That's pride. That's all it is. God says this, I decide this. Pride. See, the other word for that is disobedience, but the reason that we're disobedient is because we think we know better. Pride. You know what's going to happen to those kind of folks? They could go to church 10 days a week, man, all right? They could hear the word of God all day long. It's going to hit their heart. They don't receive it. The devil comes and takes it away. It has no impact at all, right? Now, if we go to the second group, here's the second and third group of folks. These people, I think, if you really read the Bible here, these people really want to change, but there's issues that they're not allowing their hearts to be plowed up. Right? Church, this was me. This second group here, this was me for a long time, right? Because here's what he says, the seed falls onto rocky ground, amen? If you ever tried to dig a hole in Connecticut, in your yard, anybody ever tried to do that? Dude, you're going to dig for about a minute and you're going to hit a rock, right? Now, if you go and look in your yard, you don't see most of those rocks, right? It's just you don't see in those rocks until you start digging. And then it's just, it's a mess, all right? There is so many rocks in Connecticut or New England, right? Right under the soil, amen? And so this is what he's talking about, right? He doesn't say that this sower is going out and he sees, here's a rock, I'm just going to dump seed on a rock. He's throwing seed on soil there's no depth to it, right? It looks like dirt, but there's nowhere for the roots to go down. You understand what I'm saying? Right? If you think about it, right, roots can't grow in rocks. They can't do it. Sometimes you see a thing like one of these don't ever give up memes. You guys ever see those on Facebook where like a tree grows up and splits a rock in half? Like that's still cool, but that tree did not grow in that rock. It just busted it in half. Do you understand what I'm saying? The issue here that Jesus is telling us, church, is that the word of God, this group of people, they receive the word with joy, right? They come to church, they're excited, they worship with passion, they're crying, they're on their face, they're taking notes, they're like, man, this is awesome, what a great word, pastor, man, this is great, and then they walk out and they're feeling great, and they're, yes, it's perfect, and then they go down to Wooden Tap and they order a burger and they overcook it. And man, you've just been out of shape already. Just that one thing. Can I get amen? Hopefully we're a little deeper than that, church. Amen. But what does he say? It says that the sun comes up. The metaphor is that the sun rises in Mark's gospel of it, and it's hot. And though this thing has sprung up quickly and it's a beautiful little flower, right, the thing dies out because of the heat of the sun, right? Jesus explains it by this. He says that when persecution rises because of the word, right? So I receive it at church. I'm excited. I feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to change something. I'm ready to go. I mean, giving's just such an easy one, right? I just thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to give. And it's like, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And then the next day we get a flat tire. Right? Something, man. We decide we're going to do something for God, and immediately something comes against that conviction. Amen. And what Jesus says, what's going to get us through that conviction is roots. Right? How do trees in New England make it through the winter? Because of their roots. Right? They're pulling water from way down. Yeah? Church, we're going to go through seasons. It's just it's a promise from Jesus. Look, this is, we got to understand, this is not just some weird metaphor. He's telling us how things are going to go. You receive the word of God and you're excited about it, something's going to come at you to try to get you to back up. Guaranteed. It's just how it is. The devil is not worried about you being excited at church. The devil is worried about you taking that excitement and doing something with it. Can I get an amen? The devil is more concerned about some commitment than some excitement. The commitment, church, is what we need some roots for, because that's the stuff. A commitment. Look at a marriage, man. There's times when you get married. There's times when you're just all googly eyes. Oh, wiggle worm. You're so beautiful. Right? I mean, you're just feeling great. And there's times when you're like, you're looking at the magic finger. Not this one. This one. Amen. This one with the ring on it. And you're going, what was I thinking? Right? There's some times where you're like, all right, okay, I know I made this commitment for better or worse. And, right? I mean, church, because it goes, but it's the commitment that I made that makes me get through the hard seasons. Right? There's roots there. Amen. Jesus is saying, get in the yoke with me, because we got to plow some rocks out of your heart. Right? When the Lord started teaching me this years ago, church, he just showed me in my spirit, like I was driving through the country in Connecticut, and there's stone walls everywhere, right? He says, you know where the stone walls come from? It's from when they settled the land, right? There was trees everywhere. They cut trees down, pulled the stumps up, and then they start plowing. And they're like, man, there is rocks everywhere around here. So they'd plow, hit a rock, dig it up, put it on the edge of their property. Plow a little bit, hit a rock, dig it up, put it on the edge of their property. That's where all the stone walls came from. Can I get amen? What the Holy Spirit said to me was this. He says, son, you got to understand, if you will let me dig in your heart, if you will let me work in your soul, he says, all the stuff that the enemy did to you, all the betrayal, all the abandonment, all the pain, all the stuff that you buried deep down in there, all the stuff that you just, oh, hey, how are you doing? I'm great. And we want to just cry, right? We want to just give up. He says, all that junk that you just pushed down, if you let me plow you up, I'm going to plow all that stuff out, because every single one of those things is rocks in your soul that prevent the word of God from getting some roots. So the stuff that the devil did to hurt you, you're going to dig that up and go, I'm going to put that on the edge of my property over here. And then we dig a little farther, we hit another one, and well, let's dig that one up. That's a big one. Let's get that one out. Put that one, that's a cornerstone. Put that one over on the corner of the property over here. And you know what, church, this is exactly what the Lord said to me. He said, son, all the stuff the devil did that was going to destroy you, now you're digging that junk up, and you're using it to mark out your property line. This is my property. All that stuff you tried to use to destroy me, now I'm marking what I own with it. Is that right? It's like memory stones, man, right? Old Testament, they say, go get a stone out of the middle of the river, stack them up so that every time you come by, you remember what God did. Is that right? Here's funny, church. We say like, you know, forgive and forget. Anybody ever say that? That is so dumb. That's so dumb. You will never forget. Can I get amen? It is so much more powerful to remember what somebody did, but it doesn't run my life anymore. Right? I remember that pain, but it don't hurt anymore. I remember that betrayal, but it don't hurt anymore. I forgave you. I can look you right in the eyeball, and I'll love you. I'll give you a hug because I forgave you. Amen? Does this make sense? Is it good? The third group. Make sure I got all the nugget points. Here we go. Third group. Seed falls among thorns, and the thorns choke out the word. See, as I said a moment ago, I think that these two groups, the group we just talked about, it says right into it, they receive the word with joy. But I think this group receives the word with joy as well, right? These, again, are folks that are coming to church. So like, yes, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for the word. I'm excited. I want to change. I want to grow. But so they receive this word. It gets in their heart. But then they go out. And what's he say? That these thorns grow up and choke the word out. Amen. If we think about it like this, church, it's very similar in a sense to the parable of the tares and the wheat, right? The farmer goes out into his field, plants wheat, and then it says he goes to sleep, and at night the enemy sneaks in and plants tares among the wheat, amen? The farmer didn't plant anything bad. The farmer did nothing wrong except he didn't guard his property, amen, when the enemy was coming in. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a very similar concept, right? This is a farmer who's gone out. And again, he's not walking over to a big raspberry bush and just taking and dumping seed into a huge raspberry bush. Nobody would do that. Can I get amen? He's looking at soil. This soil looks good. It looks healthy. It looks like it's soft. It looks tilled up. So I'm gonna plant some seed in here. But what he doesn't understand is that, again, just like the rock church, just under the surface, there's some thorns. There's some, the Greek word is weed. It's just a general weed in the Greek, amen? That there's some weeds under the surface just right there, amen? Anybody ever plant anything in their yard around here? We do, man. It takes about 5 minutes for weeds to start growing when you plant something, right? There's a Darius Rucker song that it's called Half Full Dixie Cup. You guys ever, anybody listen to country a little bit? You guys should. All right. Country's all right. And I'm not going to sing it, but the opening lyrics go, that bucket of bolts in the driveway is old, but it's still fast. And the weeds that in the front yard, if they're green, they look like grass. I look in my yard, I'm like, it's green at least. I don't know what's growing there, but you know what I'm saying? When the first summer we were in our house, I decided to weed and feed my backyard. You guys ever do that? So weed and feed is like the same stuff in one batch of bags. It's like you put it down and it kills weeds and it's supposed to make the grass grow. So I weeded and feed in my backyard, and 2 days later, the entire backyard was dead. I was like, all right, I thought there was a little bit of grass back there, but apparently not. I should have just left it alone because it was green for sure. Amen. But see, church, here's the deal, man. We all know this, man, but weeds will grow faster than good stuff. And weeds, see, if you plant a tree does not invade another tree's territory, right? A tree just going to grow by itself, and it's going to put some roots down and grow up. You plant a nice bush or whatever, right? Stuff that we want in our yard, that stuff behaves itself. Weeds, as soon as a weed gets a little bit of traction, that thing will just go everywhere. Can I get amen? This is what Jesus is talking about. So we have one group that just, they're a little prideful. They won't even receive the word. They've just made up their mind, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what the Bible says. Boom. The devil steals that seed. Then you got the second group, rocky soil. We've got stuff in our life. We've been hurt. We've been betrayed. We've been abandoned. We've been abused. We've been all these things, right? And Jesus is saying, let's plow those rocks up. Amen. Then we got this group. These are folks where we plant. It's good. But then stuff gets in there and starts growing up. And Jesus says this, that the thorns grew up with it. Right? Grew up with it. The thorns weren't there. They grew up together, right? So you've got the seed of the word of God is growing and it's starting to be fruitful, but then we've got the stuff, the thorns, right? And Jesus, church, describes three things that are thorns. And you know, as I was working on this, I thought, boy, this is so simple and all this stuff. But then it's like I really felt the Holy Spirit said to me, okay, but son, this is Jesus himself saying this. This is Jesus himself telling us why we struggle to be fruitful. Amen? Number one, worries. Worries. Everybody say worries. The Greek word here is translated anxieties. And what does Jesus say? They choke out the word. Now, my goodness gracious, any given day, there's about 6 million things that we can be anxious about. Can I get amen? I mean, I don't care how old you are, kids don't worry about anything, but you know what I'm saying? You hit like 20 when you realize, like, oh my gosh, I'm an adult now. It just comes storming in, right? I mean, we've got to pay our bills. We've got to, you know, take care of this. We've got to take care of our kids. We've got to go to work. We've got to There's layoffs at work. I don't know what's going to happen with that. The car broke down. Worry, 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 worry. As we get a little bit older, our kids start doing stuff, and our kids do things that we don't want them to do, and we start worrying about that. How do I fix my kids? How do I fix this? How do I fix that? We have marital problems. Oh, my gosh, my marriage is, marital problems. Anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. Worry, 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 worry. And you know what is in us as adults, as American adults, especially, I think we feel like this burden to say, I'm going to be a responsible human being and deal with all these problems. Can I get an amen from somebody? Right. It feels strangely irresponsible to just go, I'm not going to worry about that, God. Because literally, I'm right there, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so in 5 seconds, I go, okay, so now what? Because right? Like the oil tank is still empty and there's no groceries in the fridge and the car's broke down. And I mean, okay, so now what do I do? I gave it to you. What? I don't know, maybe he's up there going, okay, give it to me again. Okay, now what, right? I mean, am I talking to anybody, church? Like, okay, but they're still going to fire me at work tomorrow. So, like, what is this? I just think it's this thing where we just have to constantly guard our heart from carrying that weight, right? It's like the Lord showed me years ago, I like cars, so the Lord showed me years ago, he says, when you decide to carry all this weight in your heart, all these situations, right? He said, the Lord said to me, it was like this. He says, I designed you like a Porsche. Everybody know what a Porsche is? It's like a sports car, right? Really fast. But he's like, what I saw is, the Lord was talking about this. He said, I saw like a Porsche with a trailer hitch on it with like this huge 50-foot trailer, and he's towing it. And I just started crying. I was heartbroken about this vision I had because I'm like, this is a travesty, man. This is wrong. But the Lord literally said to me, he says, son, you're not built to tow all that stuff. You're not built to tow all that stuff. Amen? But boy, we feel like we're doing something responsible, don't we, church? I'm a man. I'm going to take care of my family. Okay, cool. We got to do that. Can I get amen? But are we supposed to do it where we come home when we're so stressed out that we snapping at our kids and screaming at our wife and kicking we can kick the dog, that's all right. But you know what I'm saying, right? Where we're just so like, we're a monster. That's not doing what God wants us to do. Right? The moment that what I'm carrying hinders my ability to be the husband that the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be, I'm carrying something I shouldn't be carrying. Right? Number two, riches. Oh, yeah, here we go. We're going to mess with your money one more time. Riches. Everybody say riches. So there is not a scripture, church, I can find in the Bible that says we can't be wealthy. Somebody should have said, praise God. Amen. Preach it, pastor. It's so good. There's not a scripture in the Bible that says we can't be wealthy. If I had the choice between being wealthy and being poor, I'd choose wealthy. I think every one of us, come on, I've had money, I've had extra, and I've had not a lot. I like extra for sure, right? I mean, if you're going to give me A or B, I'll choose A all day long. Amen, right? I like having money in the bank. But I don't think that's what Jesus is really talking about here. What Jesus is talking about is the pursuit of riches, right? I came across this proverb the other day, and this is what it says effectively. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but it says, do not weary yourself in the pursuit of riches, because the riches will mount up with wings and fly off. Right? How many people ever had a little bit of money in the bank before? How many people ever had a lot of money in the bank before? And then one thing breaks in your house, and you're like, whoop, there goes all that money. Wow, it took me 4 years to build up that savings account and took me about 5 minutes to blow it all on something. Praise God. Amen, church. Look, man, money is money. If we understand that money is a tool, that's all it is, we'll be all right. Is that good? Right? There are dozens and dozens of scriptures warning us of how much a snare money can be. Right? Jesus is saying that the pursuit of riches will choke out the word of God. It'll choke it out. Right? So what are we supposed to do about money? Sounds like pretty much the same thing with worry. He says, go, here you go. Church, I'm still grinding this one out, man. I don't know what to do with this. I mean, We our last house we sold before we moved to Canton, we sold it for a certain amount of money, and my realtor told me that it was a 2% sales tax on how that was. Our previous governor had a beautiful idea of taxing home sales because home sales are doing great in Connecticut already, so let's tax something that's doing great. That's sarcastic in case you didn't pick it up. So our realtor told us there's a 2% tax on our house when we sold it. So we went to sign all the paperwork. And the lawyer says it's only 1% tax. I was like, score. Like, it was like $1,800 that I did not expect to have in my pocket. I walked out of the attorney's office, went to the house we were buying literally the same day, and the guy says, we got to put a radon system in your basement. I said, oh, yeah, that's like $1,200, right? I'm thinking, man, I'm $600 ahead of the game. This is awesome, right? The guy says, no, no, no. The way your basement is designed, I got to put in a different system. And this new system I got to put in is $1,800. I was like, that felt nice in my pocket for like an hour. Dude, you know, I was just like, okay, I had $9 left over from that 18. It was 1809 something. I went down and got a Starbucks and a cheeseburger. And then I was broke again. But you see, I'm searching. You know what? The less we get hung up on money is what I'm saying. We will see God come through again and again and again and again, right? If I got 50 grand in the bank account, I don't need a lot of faith, right? I'm not saying we shouldn't try to save some money up. Do you understand what I'm saying? But look, every time I save some money up, something comes up and I got to spend it on something. So I've tried to get a little bit of a better heart posture saying, okay, Lord, at least I got it. Thank you, Jesus. At least I got it. Amen. If it comes, it comes. When it goes, it goes. I'm not going to get worked up on it because it will choke out the word. Number three, y'all there? Pleasures of this life. So these are the three thorns, the three types of weeds that Jesus says will choke the word out. Amen? I can't find, as I said a moment ago, a single pastor telling us that we can't enjoy life. Somebody should have said amen. There's nothing telling us we can't have fun, can't go on vacation, can't enjoy family, can't have hobbies or whatever. I think that most of these things are healthy if you use them properly. Amen? Like, we all need a little bit of me time, right? Is that right, church? A little bit of me time is healthy. You go talk to anybody, any psychiatrist, any therapist, anybody will say everybody needs a little bit of me time, right? The issue, church, is when we start, just like riches, we start pursuing pleasure. The warning that Paul gives Timothy is what? In the end times, difficult days will come because men will be lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. I can't love pleasure and love God. I can enjoy pleasure when the Lord sees fit to grant me some. Amen. I can enjoy an occasional round of golf or a vacation or whatever, right? It's fine, man. Go on vacation, have a good time. But what the problem is, we are plagued in America right now with folks going on 15 vacations every year and can't give a dime to the church. Well, that came out a little strong, didn't it? We got folks, football games with their kids 17 days a week, but they can't go to church once. All right? I'm going to take care of my family, but you ain't going to church. How are you taking care of your family if you ain't go to church? It's messed up, y'all. We got this issue now where it's like, Junior's got to be happy. No, Junior doesn't need to be happy. Junior needs to be raised up in the ways that he should go, so when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Okay, so guess what? Junior ain't going to make the pros. That's just how it is. And if Junior is going to make the pros, then you know what? If you bring him up in church and get him doing what's right before the Lord and God wants him to make the pros, he's going to make the pros one way or another, no matter what you do, if that's his destiny. Can I get amen, church? We're so backwards right now, man. This is messed up. We wonder why the Word of God has got no power. We got churches that are preaching that we need to have fun as Christians. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what word doesn't show up in the Bible? There's two of them. I'll give you both. We'll start with an F. They're both F words. Fair and fun. Neither one of them are in the Bible. Dad, it's not fair. Yeah, welcome to Christianity. You know what's fair? You go to hell. That's fair. That's fair, y'all. Boy, it's coming out strong now, isn't it? Okay, what's fair? If God is fair, then we go to hell. That's fair. If fair is the issue, then you get nothing from God. Boy, next Sunday will be better, I promise, guys. It really will be. Church, if we would understand that if God was fair, what we would get versus what we do get because he's not fair. We get stuff because God's good, not fair. The fact that I'm up here running my mouth right now is because God's good, not because he's fair. Is that right, church? Boy, that's so good. I feel the prophetic anointing just on a simple statement like that. We could catch an America that you're breathing right now because God's good, not because he's fair. Right? Man, would we turn a corner so good. Is that good, church? Pleasures, man. Look, enjoy life. Paul tells Timothy this, God has given you all things for your enjoyment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 or 19 right there. Amen, church? God is not saying you got to go live under a bridge somewhere or go live out in the woods somewhere and just pray 24 hours a day and sit in a closet and do nothing. That is not the gospel. Amen. He says, look, enjoy your family. Enjoy some time away. Enjoy some vacation. Enjoy your kids. Have fun. Go live life. Be an example. But if that starts getting out of priorities where you're missing what God has actually told you to do, not just what he allows you to do, but what he's told you to do, then you're backwards and you're choking out the word. Right? Is that good? We got to get back in priorities about what the difference between what God allows us to do and what he's told us to do. Amen. Last one. Everybody okay still? The seed that falls on good soil. Seed falls on good soil. This is what happens, yo, when we get in the yoke with Jesus. Right? We stop jerking on it. We stop saying, no, I don't want to plow there. I want to plow over here. Because I already dug this up over here. I know what's over here. He says, no. How about that closet at the end of the hall over there, that one that's got like 16 padlocks on it and one of those crowbar things. Remember, you used to put it on your steering wheel? You guys remember those things? Yeah, not, you're like, Lord, no, there's nothing in there. We're not going to go there. There's nothing in there. He says, oh, there's something in there. Why would you have that thing all locked up like that? That's the stuff we've got to let him go plow up, right? The stuff that we bury deep, the stuff we don't want to talk about, the stuff we're ashamed about, the stuff we're embarrassed about, the stuff that the devil whispers in our ear when we're by ourselves laying in bed trying to go to sleep and your mind starts going. That's the stuff that's got to get dug up for the Word of God to start finding some good soil in there, right? Church, you've heard me say it 100 times, man, maybe 1,000. It is not hard to show up for a couple hours on Sunday and behave good. What's going on the other 166 hours a week? Are we good? Right? Are we growing? Are we fighting the fight? Are we strong? Are we at peace? Are we at rest? Right? And there's stuff's going to come at us, amen? But look, are we doing good once we leave and nobody's watching? Right? That's what matters. That's where it's becoming, am I fruitful now when I don't have to be, when there's nobody pulling on my anointing, nobody pulling on me to get something done? Am I good there? Amen? Let's stand to our feet. The fruit, and here's the fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Amen. And man, we've been dancing around this for like 1.5 years. Amen. Fruitfulness, fruitfulness, fruitfulness. Church, this is when Jesus comes back. He's not going to look at how many members are in a church. He's not going to look at how cool your building is. He's going to look at my heart. What is going on right here? It's not going to be, did I preach to thousands? You know what? Most Christians are never going to preach to anybody on a pulpit. Is that right, church? God is not calling every single Christian to be a preacher or be a whatever. He's calling us to be sons and daughters, man. He's calling us to be fruit-bearing believers, saying, look at what Jesus Christ has done in my heart. Amen? So, Father, we come this morning. Lord, I pray that we'd see this passage. It's such a familiar one. We've heard it 1,000 times. We've been in church for more than 2 years. We've definitely heard this one, Lord. But Jesus, you said that these are the 3 areas that make your word not work in us. We're by the roadside, too prideful, I'm doing my thing. So the word gets stolen by the devil. We've got rocky soil in our hearts, God. And so the seed, we're excited about it. We get it. We love it. But when stuff comes against us, there's no roots there to make it through the dry season. And then just life. As your word starts to root and grow in us, some stuff also grows up with it. You said, Lord, that's what you said. The thorns grow up with it. Distractions and stuff pulling us left and right and up and down and all over the place. So, Lord, I pray that we'd see that life, we're humans. We live on earth. We can live life, but make sure we prioritize it right, that we're doing what you want us to do first. And that all the stuff that you let us do, that's all right, but that we prioritize what you want us to do. And that, Father, we would have that good soil in our hearts to produce 30, 60, 100-fold what you've deposited in us. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. If you need prayer for anything, if anything I said today is convicting you, come on up. We'll pray with you and trust the Lord to do a great work in your life. Amen. Bless you.